What's your financial goal?
You want more money? Turn what you know into dough. Start hanging out with the people who have it.
You create wealth on your own terms. It is not only your rights, but your duty to build wealth.
You are fiscally fabulous,
and it's time to enjoy your legacy.
Listening to Fiscally Fabulous with Dr. Teresa R. Martin, Esquire, a podcast that aims to provide you with the tools, guidance, and encouragement you need to build your wealth, enjoy your wealth, and leave a lasting legacy. Dr. Martin is an accomplished attorney, speaker, business consultant, and real estate strategist, an all-around self-made success who provides highly sought-after expert consulting in the creation, growth, and maintenance of generational wealth.
Hello, Fabulous. This is Dr. Teresa Martin, your favorite legal and business strategist. And you're tuned in to Fiscally Fabulous, the voice of legal, business, and real estate. Today's show is going to be fantastic, or shall I say, fabulous. Have you ever heard of code enforcement bullies? Every city has them. Did you know that code enforcement can send city workers to correct any violation if not addressed in a timely manner? Usually at double the rate for that property owner that they would normally pay for that service. And you have to pay a violation fee on top of that. Unpaid violations are added to the next quarter's property billing. I don't know about you, but I am so fed up with code enforcement bullies. Today's show, we're going to dive in and we're going to talk about the problem, the solution, and the payoff on what we can do about these code enforcement bullies. To help us dig into this statistic and to learn more about how we can fight back, we're joined today by Paul Bodley, who is the founder and educator consultant at New Blue Skies LLC. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you. Happy to be here.
I am so excited to have you here because we got to talk about these code enforcement bullies. But before we dive in, let's get a little background on your success story. When did you get started in this industry?
Oh, my goodness. So this all started back in 2006. So I've already gone through a couple of the real estate course corrections over time. But we started just getting some information. Remember the old Carlton Sheets infomercials? Yeah, it's kind of started, that piqued our interest. And we kind of went from there. So we started going to like various seminars. A lot of it was just doing attending seminars and training and getting a background on it, because nobody tells you how to, especially when you're an inner city kid growing up, nobody tells you how to buy real estate. So we had to like kind of learn that process first. So we didn't start making offers on our properties until 2009. So that's when we really got started. And luckily we decided not to buy anything because you know what happened in 2009. So we really didn't get our first property going until I think it was like a 2012 when we first got our property. And then we actually didn't invest in New York City. We actually invested in upstate New York because the property values were a lot cheaper back then.
Well, let me stop you there, because one of the things that you mentioned that, you know, anyone who has been in the real estate investing game or wanted to jump into the real estate investing game know about Carlton Sheets, right? That's like the old school granddaddy of real estate investing, right? So when you went to these seminars, Paul, let me ask you, you did say something key. No one tells you how to. What did you mean by they didn't tell you how to?
Well, it's when you're going to look and buy a property, say if you're going to live in that property, how you evaluate the property is going to be much different than how you evaluate an investment property, because there's a lot of things that you bring your spouse along, you fall in love with the kitchen, you look for the amenities, you like measuring the closets and all. It's like, oh, I'm going to put the granite countertops here and all. Totally different story from when you're looking at an investment property. Investment property, you're looking at like, okay, how many bedrooms do I have? How much can I charge for this property? You're looking at all the other ancillary factors that influence the value of your property. And by that, I mean like, what are the actual values of the houses next to you? How much could you actually put into that property and bring up the value so that when it's compared to others, that you can make a profit out of it, but you don't want to put too much value into it that you're going to then make your property too valuable and make it at the top of the line. So you want to be somewhere a little below the top of the line, but you want to make sure that your house has a good enough value that when people come into it, they're impressed by it enough to like either want to buy it or, if you're a landlord, to rent it.
And the biggest problem that we're seeing, let's just go, you know, get back to the problem that we're talking about, which is code enforcement, right? So 9 times out of 10, how are these investors taking the property? Would you say they're taking it in an entity, or would you say they're taking it in their own name?
Oh, too many investors. You know where I'm going with this. Too many investors are buying the properties in their own names, and that's a problem right there. So in addition to having all this extra debt hitting your credit line and bringing down your credit scores, now anything that happens to that property is in your name. So especially if you don't have the right type of insurance, suddenly that if somebody has like an accident or a slip and fall on your property, you could actually be liable for that. And because it's in your name, any competent attorney can do a search on you and find out all the other assets that you have. So all those other assets, then personal or business, are tied into and become part of any attempted lawsuit to get any kind of compensation for whatever they're trying to get out of you.
And so now we're talking about the whole aspect of property management. So if you're mismanaging the property because you don't know, how does that come into play with the code enforcement aspect?
Yeah, if you're not paying attention to your property, like one of the things that they don't teach you when you're buying an investment property is like, okay, you spend all this time evaluating the property, like how much money does this I'm going to make out of this property, or how much money can I actually buy this property? But they don't tell you what happens when you actually get the property. It's almost like having the dog who's chasing the car, and what happens when the dog actually catches the car. They don't tell you about that part right there. So with the code enforcement, if you're not paying attention, what can happen is like things like where I got caught a couple times in upstate New York is not having the grass cut. So I didn't know that was a thing. And in my own personal house, like I let it go for maybe like a month and get out there and finally cut it. But in certain locations, they have like a strict ordinance on how high your grass can go before you actually get a ticket. So in Rochester, New York, that ordinance was like 6 inches. So your grass could not grow longer than 6 inches. And if you didn't address that once they gave you the warning ticket, they would send somebody out to cut your grass. So where you might be able to get a handy person out there to cut the grass or cut the lawn for maybe like $25, now they're charging you like $50 to do the same thing, or $75 in some cases.
This is fantastic, Paul. I don't want to cut you off, but we're going to have to throw this to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all the complexities and then some of the solutions that we have to talk about in real estate investing. We'll be right back.
For many women entrepreneurs, the struggle is real. We arose becoming stronger with every fight. Wealth is what we built from that together. A wealth of resources, a wealth of knowledge, and a wealth of powerful businesswomen. When you are ready to achieve financial freedom and become fiscally fabulous, call. It will not be wealth that empowered your success. It will be this call. EnjoyYourLegacy.com, 646-437-7139.
Welcome back to Fiscally Fabulous Lifestyle. I'm your host, Dr. Teresa, and we have been speaking with Paul Bodley, the educating consultant of New Blue Skies LLC. And we have been discussing the problem of code enforcement, real estate investing, and taking property in your own name. Now we're going to talk about exploring the problem. So, Paul, who does this problem normally affect?
Normally, this affects small investors. It's the mom and pops, it's the beginning investors, and especially for people who are investing out of town. If you don't have a on-the-ground property management and clear instructions on how your property is supposed to be upkept, and making sure that that property management is aware of the code enforcement laws that are in their locality, then you could actually run into an issue. And that's where we ran into our issues. And what a lot of, especially when you have like a lot of places that are like hot spots for investors, like Indiana, Indianapolis, Georgia and Atlanta, the locals, governments get frustrated with like all these out of town investors coming in and buying up real estate and then not being really responsible for it. So just to give you like a quick aside, in Syracuse, New York, they actually created a tool where you have to, you as a landlord, have to actually fill out a form. You have to identify all the people who are going to be living in that property, and you have to provide your contact information. In addition, you have to have a local, you have to have some kind of partnership with a local person who will be there to actually be responsible for taking calls or visiting the property. So this is something that if you're not knowledgeable about like the laws in that city or that town, it's something you could get caught with and have like unexpected expense. The cost for filing this documentation is like $160. So they don't charge you per the occupant, but they do charge you per housing unit that you actually own. So this is where people get stuck with this.
And to address something that you just mentioned, as far as, you know, partnering with the boots on ground, if you will, the local property team, if you will, that's important anyway. As an investor, if you are investing out of state and you are not in your current locale, you don't want to be seen as an investor just in it for the profits, right? You do want to make sure that you have some ties to the community, that you're trying to improve the community. And so, Paul, with that, didn't you learn that when you went to the seminar? And you give us an example of the quote-unquote guru effect?
Unfortunately, no. That was like the hard school of knocks, or, you know, not so hard school, however you say that, how you actually learned about these things. And unfortunately, I learned the hard way that was a problem. So again, the gurus focus a lot on how to actually get the property, but not so much what happens after you've got the property. What do you do then? And amazingly, how much these little costs that you can account for, how much they can actually take out of your profit. So it's the thing that you definitely have to be aware of. And with especially if you're going to be like well out of town, like say if you're in New York State and you're investing in Indiana, you really have to have a local presence, because you're not going to get on a plane and like go take care of like somebody's clogged toilet.
And one of the things, Paul, and you know, as you know, is the voice of legal in real estate. So it may not be popular with a lot of people, but you know, what do you believe, in your opinion, is the reason why previous methods of profitable real estate investing has been ineffective? You know, the flipper effect, the wholesale effect. Give me your opinion on that.
And again, this is the response to the from the community, the local community, to all the investors coming in, not taking care of the property. There in Rochester, when we were first investing up there, there were like some properties that I just wanted to buy just to give relief to the renters, because they were not being maintained properly by the investor. The investor was just like, I bought the property, I'm going to charge as much money as I can. People needed a place to live, but the house was like definitely not up to code. So I felt bad for people like that. And this is the local government's response to those type of investors who are trying to like just take all the money out of the property and not return anything to the either the renter or to the person that they're actually selling the property to. And it's one thing if you sell a property and say, I'm going to sell it as is. But if you're renting a property, you're responsible for that upkeep and making sure that everything is up to code and then everything is like a safe and habitable place for that person to live in.
Thank you so much for that, Paul. I am so excited about this topic, as you can all see. But we're going to throw this to a quick commercial, and we'll be right back to continue to explore real estate investing and code enforcement.
Are you a woman in business or real estate looking to make the most of your income and create generational wealth? Then the GW5 Implementation Conference is for you. On November 10th through 12th, 2023, at the Westchester Marriott in Tarrytown, New York, we'll be hosting a must-attend experience for women looking to create and maintain generational wealth. You'll get to interact with certified business professionals who'll teach you how to protect your assets, reduce your taxes, and increase your wealth. Just register today at gw5conference.com. It's not just a conference, it's a movement.
Thank you so much for keeping it locked with the Fiscally Fabulous Lifestyle. I am your host, Dr. Teresa Martin, and we have been speaking with Paul Bodley. And before break, we talked about the exploration of real estate investing and the issues that, you know, come about in real estate investing. Now we want to talk about the payoff, the solution. So, Paul, how have you provided a solution for those looking to use real estate investing as an option?
So for a solution, like obviously real estate investing is a good vehicle for people to make and increase their income coming in without having to get a second job. One of the things that I totally agree with some of the gurus when they say that why should you get into real estate investing is that there's, you can manufacture income, but you can't manufacture time. Time is something that you can't duplicate.
Like that.
We have a finite amount of time. But if you're smart and you allow your money to invest and make money while you're sleeping, you can actually maximize your return. So that's one of the greatest things about real estate investing and why people should actually look at that. Second, it is a, from a community perspective, it's a great way to give back to the community because we all, especially if you're a person who has like a high value in terms of like the amount of like your business integrity. So if you can actually take a property that's like under, not under the construction, but it just needs repair, and you can turn that property back into something that's actually meets community standards, now you're returning your investment back into the community because this is a rising tide that rises all boats in that your property now where was dragging down property values is actually bringing property values back up because you fixed everything up. So now you have a higher value on your asset and everybody in the neighborhood now has a higher value because of that one property that you fixed up. So if you can just imagine doing that across multiple communities, you can actually make money and solve community issues at the same time.
Absolutely. And we can we definitely can't forget about the code enforcement because, you know, I deem this, you know, code enforcement can be the bullies, right? And it can definitely be a friend or a foe. So, Paul, can you give us an example of an impact that you learned the hard way related to code enforcement?
Yeah. Well, we talked about the grass, and that was like a minor thing. But one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is like with plumbing and water supply and sewer lines. So this is part of your insurance is that we think that when we get insurance on the property, that's going to cover everything that goes wrong with it. And that's not necessarily the case. And what a lot of property owners don't realize is that that line that connects from the sewer to the city line, you're responsible for that. That's not the city's, even though it's outside of your property is still on your property and you are responsible for that maintenance. So in a lot of instances, especially when we have like a lot of trees planted, when you have like a really big tree, the roots not only go deep, but they spread out. So, and a lot of times they will spread out into your water line and you break that water line or it'll get clogged. And suddenly you realize that your waste water is not draining as properly as it should be because there's like a tree root going through your sewer line. You are responsible for paying that. And we're talking about at least like a $10,000 bill if the city has to come in or somebody, a plumber has to come in, dig that line up to repair it. So that's something.
We're not even talking about water bills, right? We're not even talking about water bills.
Oh, no, this is beyond water bills. This is, but it's a crazy thing that people just don't realize that you're on the hook for. And then the other thing that people don't realize and they don't pay a lot of attention to is flood damage. So with climate, and one of the reasons why is like you're in real estate, why are you paying attention to climate change? Climate change is important because with the changes that we've experienced in climate, there are a lot of places that weren't flood zones are now flood zones. And if you don't pay attention to the new maps that the city puts out, you might not realize that suddenly like your area has now been designated for as a flood zone. So if you have a flood that comes along because of like heavy rains or a tropical storm coming through and your basement gets flooded or your property gets flooded, you can't put a claim in for that. So now you have to pay for that those repairs out of pocket. That's huge.
That goes to your bottom line. And a lot of times when we're thinking about code enforcement and the violations that affect our properties, we're not really thinking about that when you're going into the acquisition of real estate. Right. And the holding aspect, how much does the holding cost you, you know, and then the exit. right? So all these things that from the time you acquire property to the time you're sitting on that property to the time you're exiting that property, you always have to think about the costs involved and to eliminate, you know, code enforcement as a possible effect on your bottom line would be negligent on your part as a real estate investor. And newbies sometimes forget about that. So one of the things that I want to ask you, Paul, is what has been, in your experience, the worst advice that you have ever been given as it relates to real estate investing? I know mine. I want to know yours.
I was following this one guru who said, like, I just use Google Maps to like look at the property, and as long as my numbers are okay, then I'll just go in there and I just make a blind offer. So I actually followed that one time. I was like, you know, I'm going to buy this property. It meets my pricing criteria, and I bought it sight unseen. The only problem is that when I got to see it, I didn't realize like how bad the property actually was, and it needed a lot more work. It was the kind of thing where I paid the bank as an REO, but I really should have had the bank pay me to take this property off their hands. That's how much work needed to be put into this. So this is like one of those things where this was like a definite money pit. And fortunately, I was able to find another investor, a local investor who was like a do-it-yourselfer, who was actually going to go in and do a lot of the work that needed to be done. But for me to go in, who I can identify and hammer, and that's about it.
And that was my thing too. And I know we're wrapping up, but I got so much more to talk about because code enforcement is just one aspect of the real estate property management journey. But we're short on time, and I do want to make sure that, you know, I ask you, you know, how can our viewing audience benefit from applying your solution? How can they actually get in touch and have more of Paul Bondly?
Well, you definitely reach out to our website, www.newblueskies.com. I'm going to start posting these little tidbits, the things I've learned in real life, how to actually work with your property after you actually purchased it, and like all the little things that they don't teach you about. And one tidbit I will like leave people with is if you don't pay attention to your inspection report, you should, because your inspection report should be your roadmap on how you actually repair your property and for future repairs, so that you know that these are going to be issues that could be a problem down the road. But these are the things that we were going to talk about on the website. And if anybody wants to reach out for like personal tips on anything for a specific property, we can definitely talk about that.
Thank you so much, Paul. It has been a true pleasure. Paul's solution is that you need to do your research and you need to make sure that you pay attention to getting into real estate and what that actually means to you, and not just listen to gurus, right? And focus on your code enforcement. We've been discussing code enforcement, real estate investing with Paul, and he has been giving us educational tips. So I do want to make sure that you go to newblueskies.com and you can reach out to Paul and get some of his wonderful tips. Right now, we're going to throw into commercial and we'll be right back as we close out this segment.
Welcome to RIA NYC, where eager to learn entrepreneurs become wealthy and happy to teach investors. Nothing happens until you decide to change your life. Oh, and do it in great company. Call us today and build your empire.
Wasn't that great information that Paul shared? The purpose of Fiscally Fabulous Lifestyle is to help you live a fiscally fabulous lifestyle on your own terms. This is the spot where we share successful entrepreneurs and help you discover their unique strategies, their experiences, and their success stories. I'm always asked on social media, well, how do I jumpstart in real estate? How do I get started in my first investment property? So I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to answer it this way. You get started. A lot of times we want to get into real estate investing. We watch infomercials, but it's not beyond your control. But what you can control is how you actually jumpstart your real estate investing career with mentors or coaches or getting the right information, getting around an association or an organization that can provide you the insights. That's what Fiscally Fabulous Lifestyle is all about. bringing you the entrepreneurs and the professionals in the game so that you can get the right information at the right time so you do not have to make costly mistakes like some of my guests have made and definitely some that I have made. So if you are out there and you have questions for me or you have questions that's burning and you just need answers to it, I want you to visit fiscallyfabulous.com, and jump on there, ask me a question, and who knows, we may share your question on the air. I love doing what I do. I love helping you understand that you are fiscally fabulous and you're worth it. I love sharing legal tips to help you jumpstart your real estate business and or your business. I love sharing with you my guests and my friends that come on and tell you about their journeys. This is what I was made to do. And I'm so excited that you tuned in for this episode, but you don't want to miss next week's episode. So make sure you keep it locked in to Fiscally Fabulous Lifestyle. And I'll see you on the next show. Remember, you are fiscally fabulous and you're worth it.
This has been Fiscally Fabulous with Dr. Teresa R. Martin Esquire. If you would like to learn more on how you can build generational wealth and leave a lasting legacy, go to www.enjoyyourlegacy.com and be sure to subscribe. Thank you for listening. Until next time.